Just Women's Workshop on March 1st from 9:30 to 12 in Tilbury, Ontario. So it sounds like it'll be a wonderful time. The registration is $20 and there is still forms, and the deadline is February 17th. So if you haven't signed up yet and would like to, there's still time. And then there's also the men's conference on February 22nd coming up at 8:30 a.m. at Banwell Community Church. And the speaker for that is Dr. Chris Crocker. The topic is Standing Firm, and the cost is $25. So if anybody is interested in attending that, just speak to Kevin about that. The Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. for our study in the parables of Jesus. And this week we're going to be looking at the parable of the talents. So I was reading that this morning, and it'll be a very good study. So there are handout sheets on the podium. If you're able to come, that's wonderful. If not, please help yourself to a sheet, and you can work through that study at home. I think that's the announcements for this morning, and let's just go to the throne of grace in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you for this morning, and Lord, we just look out and see the snow, and it's beautiful, and Lord, the whiteness when it's untouched and on the ground reminds us of the way you cleanse us from our sin. You wash us white as snow. So Lord, we just thank you that even in your creation, we can be reminded of the wonderful things that you do for us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation that we only have because you came to earth and lived a life and died upon that cross for our sin. So Lord, we just thank you for the sacrifice, the horrendous treatment you faced in order to give us salvation. So Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that. Lord, we just thank you for each person that's come out in the snow to worship you this morning. We thank you for the ability to be here. We thank you for this time of fellowship and communion with one another. And Lord, we just thank you that as a church family, we are a body, and that together we serve you, and we when one part of the body is hurting, everyone hurts. So Lord, we know that the love and the fellowship we have is so rich, and we thank you for that. Lord, we just pray for anyone that is currently under the weather or suffering at this time. Lord, we pray for Karen, who's just undergone her knee surgery, and we thank you for the successful surgery she's had, and we just ask for you to be with her as she continues to recover at home. And Lord, we just pray for her right at this moment. Lord, we thank you and pray for other people in our church family that aren't able to be out this morning due to health or due to the weather. And Lord, you know the individual circumstances that each person faces, even if we may not know them. But Lord, we pray for those that aren't here or aren't able to be here this morning to worship with us. Lord, be with them and help them to have time with you at home with your word. Lord, we just thank you for James and the fact that he's come to serve here as our pastor. Lord, we thank you for his life and his ministry here. And Lord, we ask that you bless him as he serves you. We ask your prayers for his family. They're not able to be here yet. And Lord, we just ask that you orchestrate the ability for that to happen as well. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can spend here together with you in worship. And Lord, we ask that you bless us as we continue in our worship. Lord, we pray for this community and the school across the road, the teachers, the children. Lord, there's just so many lives that may not know you. And Lord, we just pray for opportunity to be able to interact with the school and develop some programs to be more interactive as we serve you in this place. Help us to be a witness to you just as a church building and a light that would draw people to come in just even to see what's happening here. Lord, we just pray that we get opportunities to meet and impact our community better as we serve you here in this place. Lord, we pray for our government and things that are going on in our world. Lord, we sometimes don't understand the process of why certain things happen or what prompts some decisions by leadership in other countries. But Lord, we just ask that you keep our hearts at peace with no matter what circumstances are going around us. Lord, just help us to have your peace in our hearts, knowing that you are in control of all things. Lord, we just ask that you would act in this world and impact leaders to make decisions that are godly decisions, that are biblical decisions. And Lord, we just pray for countries where there's persecution. And Lord, we just pray that you will turn hearts of leaders in those countries. Lord, we just know that there's so much that we have freedoms here that we are sometimes negligent to thank you for. But Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have in our country. And we just pray for that in other countries where people are persecuted, that you would bring freedom and bring new leadership where it's required. Lord, we just pray for people that are missionaries that are reaching out to others. And Lord, we thank you for the ability that we can support those missionaries in those countries. And Lord, we also just pray that you'll protect the missionaries that are serving in countries, especially ones that have persecution against anybody that serves and believes in you. So Lord, we just pray for all of these things. Lord, as we continue in our service, be with us. Be with Pastor James as he brings your message. And Lord, we just pray that we'll be inspired and rejuvenated by time here together as a church family worshiping you. And I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
So today's scripture verse is Acts 12, 5 to 16. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the sentry stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people were gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and the servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished.
A good morning to each and every one of us. Thank you for coming out today. We're grateful the congregations today that are unable to gather like this because the storm has been heavy in their areas. Also from Thursday, as I listened and watched the news, both online and through other means, a lot of accidents. But we thank God, really, it has not been something outside the ordinary. So we're grateful that at least everything is in control. And thankful for those of us who have waited the snow rain this morning. From yesterday evening, it has been raining snow and up till this morning. And so I know that for you to be out here, it's a big sacrifice. And we do not take that for granted. Interestingly, this week was a week where people talked about so much of love. Some of it made sense. Some of it was quite stupid. And some were just another radical thing. Because every year we celebrate the St. Valentine's Day. It's supposed to be a season of genuine love. But we all know that people run crazy around this period. Someone once said in my African context, I don't know whether the context applies here as well. It said some people get pregnant during Valentine. Or some people get people pregnated, even though they didn't plan it. Because people feel that the expression of love can only be done by sexual intimacy. But then we have come to know that when it comes to love, that is not the expression of what you can describe as love, especially for those of us who believe in the Bible's position that it has to be done in the context of marriage. That's where we hold and stand as Baptists. So, this morning I'll be talking about love language of corporate prayer in a local church. The love language of corporate prayer in a local church. Or we could say love language of corporate prayer and intercession in a local church. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 16 that was read tells us the story of how Peter was being picked. But then the earlier verses, 1 to 5, tells us that James was picked by Herod, and his life was being messed up. He was being killed. And it seemed as if the church was silent. There was really no reaction that came from the church. And so the Bible said he felt it was okay because certain of the Jewish people were okay with that James the apostle was killed. So he decided, if I took James, who was more like the administrative head, why not take Peter, who is the main headship for the disciples or the apostles? That would be a good pick. And so the Bible said he decided to pick Peter. And then he picked him around the season of Easter or the season of the Passover. And his intention was that at the period of the Passover, he would do what? On the Monday or thereabout of it, he would bring him and kill him before everyone. And he knew that would be a public spectacle, something that the people would love to see, because they were already glad when James was killed. So he expected that this would be a good prize, like the gladiator kind of a thing, and then he would present him. But the Bible says just before his plans will come to pass, the church that did not pray earlier started to pray. And the church prayed so hard, they decided they were not going to leave where they were. They continued to pray. Even though somehow you would ask yourself if they were expecting any result. Because the Bible will say to us, by the time Peter showed up at the doorstep of where they were praying, and the young maid came out to say, wow, and went back in, she was so shocked, so surprised, that she didn't open the door for Peter. She just went back to say, Peter is outside. And they looked at her, are you crazy? Did you just take some stuff? How can he be outside? And I'm asking myself, why are they not praying for him to be released? Was that not all the point why they were gathered? But the Bible said they did not believe her. Then someone offered illogical explanation. It must be his ghost. He has been killed, and his ghost kind of followed the map and came here to alert us. I'm gone already, but I need to tell you guys. But then to their amazement, it was actually Peter. Why? Because God answers prayer. Especially when his people are gathered in his name, he answers them. Let's bow our heads as we pray this morning. Father, we are grateful for this time to have come together as we explore this story and we remind ourselves of the wisdom and the lessons therein. We ask that you minister to each and every one of us and help us as a church to see what you want us to be reminded of. And Lord, we want to see you manifest in this congregation like never before. We want to be a congregation that operates in your love, stands in the gap for one another, and see the manifestation of your glory. Thank you because you will help us today, even as you bring your word to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let there be love shed amongst us. Let there be love in our hearts. Rain down your love. Sweep this church, Lord. Cause us, oh Lord, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shared amongst us. Let there be love. Let there be love shared amongst us. Let there be love in our hearts. Rain down your love, fill this church, Lord. Cause us, O Lord, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding, your brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shared amongst us. Let there be love. One of the things that makes us who we are as body of Christ is the love that we share in him. The love that we share in him is made manifest in our concern and care for one another. Our care and concern for one another is best expressed when it is connected or sourced in God himself. The Bible tells us God is love. The Bible helps us to know, according to John, 1 John, he says, if there's anyone who says he loves God, he or she must also love the brethren or his brothers and sister. If I truly love someone, definitely one of the things I would do as a Christian is to pray for them. In fact, Jesus would even say, for those who we describe or we confirm as an enemy, he says, still pray for them. Pray for those who hate you. And I said, wow, why should we do that? And he said, you have heard, love those who love you. That's what the law of Moses would say. But I say, pray for your enemies. Love those who hate you. And so if God commands us to love those who hate us, how much more those who love us, those we are in the same family of God together? Jesus would say to his disciples, we needed to bear each other's burden. Paul the apostle would reemphasize through his teaching ministry the same thing. So in the season where people and the whole world talks about love, as a church, one of the ways I would want us to consider the subject of love is through corporate or what we call intercessory prayer for one another. That is bearing each other up before God. That is standing in the gap. That is having so much compassion and passion, saying, I don't just bring to God that which has to do with myself or my family, but I'm going to bring to God that which also have to do with members of our church, because we are in the same family of God. One of the things that I've come to realize that as human beings, we are naturally selfish. Not in a bad way. Sincerely speaking, if there was something available and it's just one, many times it's easy for you to think of yourself first. If you think of yourself first, you think of your family first. That's natural. But then the Bible expects us to step further. I think of myself, I think of my family. I need to think of those who are of the same family of faith as well. So the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 12, why was it that Herod proceeded to take Peter? Because when he took James, it seemed as if no one resisted. It's as if everywhere went quiet. Nothing was done. The record did not say that the church prayed. They took it for granted. And sometimes, if we're not careful, things happen to those who are a part of our family of faith, and sometimes we feel it's their business. But the intent of God is this, that you and I, as long as we belong to Jesus and we belong to the same community of faith, we must, of a necessity, part of our Christian virtue of love is to pray for one another. Because when we do, we are sacrificing. We are sowing a seed of kindness. We are sowing seed of godliness. We are doing to others as we want them to do to us. We are loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so, if all I do as a member of Ambassador Baptist Church is to pray for me, myself, and my family, then I have not done the best. God wants us to stand in the gap for our fellow church members. To go in the place of prayer and not just pray about the things that bothers us, but about the things that bothers them that would affect all of us. Because like I said, if we are one body, if somebody is hurting, then whether we like it or see it, the truth is that we are also hurting. The devil knows when a house is divided against itself. The devil knows that if we get into the place of corporate prayer, then you see a lot of things will happen. Jesus was speaking and he said, if two of you shall agree concerning a thing, it will be done. Jesus would say, where two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am there. Jesus would say, whatever two or three of you, when you gather, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. In the Old Testament, it would say, one would chase 1,000, two would chase 10,000. In essence, there is so much power in corporate way of praying. And also standing together in faith for one another. I'll tell you, the devil will always attack. His ministry is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that we may have life and have it in abundance. the abundant life that Jesus has come to offer and give. He has put us here for one another to see that enforced in the lives of people as we pray together. That means we must have a safe space where we can carry each other in prayer. In my little life as being a Christian and being in, you know, around church, sometimes people do not pray for each other in church, or people do not bring their prayer burdens to the church because some people have the ministry of gossip. It's like a special talent. Say, so let's pray for this person. And they say, okay, so what happened? And then you say, oh, and then you say, can you give a detail more about that stuff? And then you give the details in prayer. And then before you know it, somebody is, did you hear? Did you know? And sometimes that makes people not to want to open up in prayer or come into collective place of prayer. But you see, one of the things that God genuinely wants us to be able to do is in our show of love for one another, carry the burden of the other person in prayer in such a way that it's not, you don't get excited by what they are going through, but trusting God to see the victory of God and His success happen in their lives. You don't mock them. You don't see them as being weak. Can you imagine Peter, who is supposed to be the strongest apostle, the one who had the revelation others could not have, that Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Peter, you have heaven's frequency. Only you caught the real revelation when he said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. How can someone who had such a big revelation of God and in its trueness suddenly become the one that Herod would just speak and just like that? Somebody would say, if he was anointed, he would have spoken and they would not have been able to catch him. And then I would say, even Jesus allowed himself to be picked. So that means bad things happen to good people. Bad breaks happens to good people. Godly people face trials. They face temptations. How many of us remember Job? He was doing so well in his own way. He was doing everything he knew to do to save his family, to save himself. But he had silent fear. The Bible says in Job chapter 3 verse 25, he said, the things I greatly feared have come upon me. So he had his fears, just like every one of us. And then he was making sure every religious thing he felt he could do, he did. But then the Bible said the negative and the evil things did before him. And his circle of friends, people that were close to him, people he had invested into, people he had enjoyed with, people he had supported, people he had helped, people he saw as close family to him. They said, Job, let's be real here. You are not a good person. Are you sure you didn't offend God? Are you sure you didn't fumble somehow? Because the kind of things that are happening to you doesn't show you are a good person. In fact, we can categorically say something is not okay with your life. And Job looked at them. Wow. Is that all how you define me? Is that all you know, having been your friend all this while? And he was angry. And that was genuine. He had all the reason to be angry with them. Because these were supposed to be his own family, friends. These were supposed to be like his church members. His buddies in Christ. That's what we will say today. But the Bible says to us, ultimately, he had to come to a place where he forgave them. And then, not just that he forgave them, the Bible said, and he prayed for them. So as a detour, can I quickly say, maybe you are here and for any reason, I don't know, but this, it may be for somebody listening that will listen to this later or for somebody here. Listen, Maybe you have been betrayed. Maybe people have treated you badly. Maybe you had some bad breaks or certain things happen, and people who you thought should stand with you in prayer, people you thought should encourage, people you thought would stand by you, rather than doing that, they have added to your problem. They have kind of tore you down. They have kind of mocked you. They have kind of crucified you. People who should be praying for you seem to be happy or be unconcerned about what has taken place in and around your life. And you're feeling bad about that. Can I say to you, forgive them. Let it go. So James died. Because, from my own point of view, he did not have a praying church supporting him. Can I say with all humble submission, there are things that people in our faith family or even in our immediate nuclear biological family face because we who are around them never took time to join them by faith in praying for them. It's like we left them alone for the devil to have his way. We left them alone to walk through the stress, the challenge, the trials, the temptation. We feel they should have been strong like us. Why is it they are not as strong as us? But hear me. The reason why God puts us together, some strong, some not that strong, some weak, some struggling, is because iron sharpeneth iron. God wants us to be able to hold each other firmly as we navigate and walk the Christian race. So, they made a mistake the first time. They never prayed for James. They didn't gather. The Bible didn't give us a record that the church gathered to pray. But when the same thing happened and they picked Peter, suddenly they realized that they were inactive. They did nothing the first time. And now Herod said he saw that certain people were happy. And so let me take another person for the slaughter. But this time around, we had a more matured, wiser, compassionate, love in action church. And so they gathered to pray. So what is a love language? Some years ago, as at 1992, someone that is Gary Chapman, who was an American author, a counselor, and a pastor, in a book that he wrote, The Five Love Languages, he talked about the secret to the love that lasts. Chapman talked about five love languages. He talked about words of affirmation, expressing positive talk and receiving, you know, good encouragement and appreciation from people around. And that's something that, whether it's a marriage or relationship or even in the church, we need to be able to express words of affirmation to one another. We should not be toxic to anyone. It doesn't matter the level of their faith. It doesn't matter what they are struggling with. God has put you and I in the same family of faith with such people so that we can raise them up, so that we can encourage them, so that we can challenge them. Another love language he talked about was the subject of quality time, giving attention to one another, spending time with one another, engaging in activities together. It's one of the ways people bond. For married couples, very important. Someone said, attention breeds affection. How can you say you have love or you are in love with somebody but you don't have time? You're always busy. Oh, I'm busy. I tell people when the love start going, then the phone calls will start reducing. Because when you are in love, you can spend hours on phone and you won't be bothered. So you mean 1 hour is gone, 2 hours is gone? It's because you love that person. It's because you have affection towards that person. If it's not there, every moment with them is like a torture or it's toxic and you want to avoid it. Thirdly, it's talked about receiving and giving gifts as one of the love languages that needs to be expressed. So in marriage and in life, someone is a friend, there should be some giving and receiving of gifts. Now, tangible gifts, not essentially something expensive, but something that expresses how that you appreciate the other person. Then there's also the acts of service. That's another love language, being able to serve, expressing love, you know, through helpful actions, such as cooking, cleaning, running errands. And the same thing we do in the family of faith. Acts of service towards God, towards humanity, shows that we love. Those are things we do as love languages. The fifth thing it talked about is physical touch. Love expresses itself in touch. Touch, physical touch, to the level and degree to which you are in a relationship is the level of touch that is visible or possible. For some, it's holding. For some, it's a shake. For some, it's a hug. For some, it's more intimate, because between couples, there's a difference between the touch with a husband and wife and others. But then also, when it comes to the body of Christ, we come to the one that is the love language that is strongest. The ability to forget and not place emphasis on you and the things that you get immediate benefit from, but to pray for the other person. So that means if there's a family that is going on through a challenge here, whether it's financial, whether it's marital, if somebody is having a health challenge, if somebody is having an academic challenge, if somebody is having a financial challenge, it is something that you and I need to carry as a burden in prayer. The Bible said they gathered, and as they prayed, the church prayed fervently, continuously, consistently, and with faith. What happened? Peter was chained down. The Bible said they had soldiers. They had chained his hands, chained his feet. But then suddenly, an angel appeared there. And can I say, angels are still working today. How many of us believe that? Angels are still at work. Yes, we may not know them, we may not see them, and can I submit they don't have the wings, physical wings like the one we watch in movies. Amen. Whether white wings or black wings, we may not see somebody. If you see somebody walking around this axis right now with wings, you freak out. Amen. Say, I'm an angel. I'm Angel James. You will not trust that. Because why? The Bible told us, how did angels appear in the days of Abraham? They were just walking like people who are just going on their own trip. But Abraham was sensitive enough to say, these guys don't look as if they are from here. And then he offered to say, please, I think you're going on a long journey. Could you come and eat? I don't know how those angels did that. When we get to heaven, we ask. The Bible said they cooked a whole cow. And these guys ate, three of them. And that's why Sarah was confused. When they started to speak, she started to laugh. She said, my food has done a great work. These people. But they were angels. If they had come with wings, nobody would be cooking anything. Would they be cooking any food for them? No. So angels still happens. They are still all around. They minister to those of us who are heirs of righteousness. The Bible said an angel showed up. And I believe that the angels of God shows up for us even in times and ways we do not know. Sometimes we We can't process it. Sometimes we cannot imagine it. It's later, maybe you are looking at the event again and you are saying, this must have been an angel. But right at that moment, you don't know. And there are a lot of people who today, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was looking at a documentary and they were talking about people were sharing certain experiences of how they know that what happened to them must have been an angel that showed up. Because there's no how. They couldn't see the person again. In a place quiet, and somebody's vehicle ran into a snow something, and no, you couldn't even pick a telephone signal. And somebody shows up, and he has this kind of walkie-talkie with the exact frequency, and knows exactly, and calls the first responders. And this person is supposed to be in a dish where it would not have been noticed, and he waited until they come. And then the next thing, in the midst of trying to pick her out, they can't see him again. And then they checked all their phones. They could not have gotten a signal in that place. And the lady said, I am sure that was an angel because I can't even trace this person again. God still sends angels. And I believe in 2025, as we pray for one another, God will send his angels to intervene in cases that are beyond us. The Bible says he was released. And I don't know what is confining anyone or that may confine anyone close to us. Any limitation, any hindrance, any struggle, health-wise or in any area. If we are able to sacrifice the time to pray for one another at home, wherever we find ourselves, as you decide to pray for yourself or your family daily, chip in some time and make it quality time and pray with faith in your heart the same way you would have prayed if it was your prayer concern. In my little life as growing as a church person, I discovered sometimes when you tell people to pray for others, they don't intensify the prayer the same way they pray when it comes to their own. They have a different posture. It's like they are taking a snack. Oh, Lord. They don't even put their faith to it. But when you tell them, pray for your family. Oh, pray for your son. Pray for your daughter. Then you see people invest more strength. You see the compassion or the passion. We're saying we are sowing seeds into each other's life. God has been honored and glorified. We can be the church that prayed for Peter and see God manifest. And I want us to do that. Let's make a habit out of that this year. Some of us have been doing it before now. Some of us need to start doing it. Some of us just need to improve and do it better. But can I plead with you? As members of Ambassador Baptist Church, we must never have a day where we pray for ourselves or our family and we didn't pray for other members of the church. That's something I want us to be able to do. Because when we do, we will see God at work. We will see miracles. We will have testimonies. God will do what only he can do. Because we connect together in faith. As we do it in our different homes and destinations, God knows our hearts are knitted together. He listens, he watches. And you are praying for me. I am praying for you. You are praying for the other person in the church. We are praying. It's like in the realm of the spirit, all we are networked together. In our prayer, concerns and passion for one another. I need us to develop that more than ever before. The church that prays together stays together. The family that prays together stays together. The church that prays together wins together. The family that prays together wins together. You cannot be praying for someone and be okay in keeping malice or having a form of jealousy or harboring anger towards that person. No. You can't. You cannot be praying for someone and at the same time imagine that that person's life becomes stagnated. You cannot be praying for someone genuinely and have room to still gossip the person or wish the worst for the person. So when we pray for one another, we become a stronger church, stronger people. And the devil knows, and God knows, because he wants us to express our love for one another, that the same way we carry what is beyond us to God, we carry ourselves. We stand in the gap. We intercede until the miraculous takes place. Until the healings, the deliverances, the breakthroughs. So that at the end of the day, we can say, we are Christ ambassadors. It means we're standing in the gap to show Christ to people. We're standing in the gap to help people see his love. And I know God's grace is sufficient for us. And the Holy Spirit is there to strengthen us. And so as we go this week, please pray for every member of Ambassador Baptist Church. And pray for James as well. You know, one of the things I learned in Scripture, Paul the Apostle, the man with revelations, he saw the seven dimensions of heaven and all those kind of stuff. He would say, pray for us, pray for me, so that the preaching or the message of Christ will flow with ease. So all of us need to pray for one another. I will keep praying for us, but I also need the prayers. You know, there's no overdose of prayer. You can use some prescription and they said you used overdose. But there's nowhere there's an overdose. So you say, pray without ceasing. Men ought to pray and not faint. So help me look at your neighbor with a smile. The smile is always important. Good smile. So tell that person, I'll pray for you. You need to pray for me. And we need to pray for every member of our church. Can we do that? So that's the assignment I want us to challenge ourselves. And I'm telling you, it may not be easy. It may not be easy. But you just practice it. Every time you say, you know, it's like every time you say a word of prayer for yourself, remember to say one for everyone who is a member of Ambassador. Whatever good that you desire, just pray over them. God has a way of converting all and making it through. Ultimately, Peter showed up in spite of the reality that it would not have happened, because God is a miracle worker. And I know God will strengthen us. He will bless us. He will answer our prayers. He will bond us together as a family. And he will strengthen us to become the kind of church that is a total blessing to these Windsor, to our side in Manchester, and even to Essex. Can we bow down our heads and pray this morning? Lord, we are grateful for another opportunity to look into your word. Thank you, because indeed, as a church, we have been a church that prays for our members. Yes, in our bulletins and even in our Sunday prayers, we pray for those that are shut out, those who are down. And so, Lord, today we are just encouraging ourselves again the more that, Lord, we want to be the praying church, the loving church, that church that we have the love language of corporate prayer and intercession to bear each other up daily. Not just being selfish to talk about ourselves and our families and those connected to us, but to remember that the reasons and part of why you have put us together as a community is to stand in the gap for one another, knowing that this journey is a journey that requires spiritual dynamism and energy. And Lord, what better way to show our love and to speak a love language to one another than to stand in the gap, bearing people up in their season of strength, in their seasons of weakness, in their seasons of celebration, in their seasons of challenges, that it doesn't matter what any member of Ambassador Baptist Church is going through, any member of our families are going through, we will speak the love language of corporate prayer and intercession on their behalf. That just like Peter, we will have people that will be delivered. People that will be set free from the cage and the plans and the agenda of the devil. We'll have people who will be able to say like Peter, now I know God has delivered me from the evil expectations of the people and from the hands of Herod. May our testimony be this year that as Ambassador Baptist Church, you advanced us, you delivered us, you healed us, you promoted and blessed us. Not just we alone, but everyone connected to any member of this church. We thank you because we know you have done this. And much more you will do by your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.